You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The story in Ferguson, Missouri, where an unarmed black teenager was shot and killed by the police, is one that can change a lot depending on where you stand and how you look at it. Noelle King and Lindsay Foster Thomas from Marketplace's Wealth and Poverty Desk reported from Ferguson. Our listeners and online audience were really interested in what they saw there, so we asked them to come on and talk about it. Welcome to both of you.
Hey, Lizzie.
Hi, Lizzie.
You know, there was a perception, I think, nationally that may exist that Ferguson, people who are seeing these pictures on television or hearing radio stories, that this is a poor area or a place that is lower income. Tell us what you saw and give us a sort of an economic reality check about who lives there.
Right. So Ferguson is a very small city, but it does have a high rate of poverty. It's got a 20% poverty rate. But the area of town that you see most on TV is down a street called West Florissant Avenue. And Noelle and I, of course, while we were there, we spent a lot of time on West Florissant Avenue. After a while, we looked up what florissant meant. And florissant means, it's a French word for blooming and thriving and flourishing. And you can actually see part of Ferguson blooming and thriving and flourishing on a different part of town called South Florissant. Now, South Florissant is, to the naked eye, all these things. There are eateries, that's got patio dining, it has a wine bar that one of the locals told us has avocado soup that will make you lick the bowl. It's got a bike shop. And this is also where a different set of demonstrations have been taking place, because South Florissant is also home to Ferguson Police Department headquarters. Everyday protesters turn out across the street from the PD with signs and prayers, asking for justice, asking for more answers in the shooting death of young Michael Brown. But these protests have not resulted in any arrests or violence. They're more sedate. Law enforcement that's been dispatched to Ferguson, they don't assemble heavily around there. They don't patrol heavily around there. And they're not really concentrating at all on this area of town. So this part of Ferguson is very invested in. It's clear the buildings are beautiful. The businesses are new. And the treatment of the protesters in this part of town is also different. In fact, the first night that the curfew was enforced, which happened last weekend, there were reports that protesters on South Florissant were allowed to stay out past midnight and had no problem. So either intentionally or unintentionally, the demonstrations that have turned very ugly have not happened there.
You guys also went with sort of a specific mission to look at businesses and economics in this suburb of St. Louis and see how they're being affected. Noelle, tell me about one of the business owners who you talked to. I mean, you talked to a guy with a small business who was more or less shut down, right?
That's right. In fact, if you ask about how businesses are doing, once again, it's really a tale of two cities. In the area, there is an area of West Florissant Street where what you'll see are business owners who've had to board up their shops, who have had to close down altogether, or at least limit their hours to just a few hours a day. And this is because you can't really be open when people are fighting outside of your store, when windows are being broken. But just over the line from Ferguson, just over the town line from Ferguson, there is another small town called Jennings. It's not far from where the protests are taking place. We spoke to a business owner there who is in an extraordinary position. A couple of days after Michael Brown was killed, a couple of days after the clashes started, he went to bed on an ordinary Sunday night and got a phone call the next morning from the property manager. Now, he is the gentleman we spoke to owns a small bar and grill called Swish Bar and Grill. It's kind of tucked into a mall, sort of an ordinary suburban mall where you've got a Target and a Foot Locker and a bank and a big supermarket. And he's kind of tucked into the one corner of the mall. And what he learned from the property manager was that for some reason, his parking lot was being taken over as the police command center. No one could tell him why. No one could tell him when it was going to end. But the scene outside of his store is astonishing. Have a listen to what he had to say.
That's like a tank truck with police officers in there laying down doing something. There are many, many, many police cars. There's a helicopter in the front, two helicopters in the front, porta potties, police officers, you name it, it's there.
So, Lizzie, just to give you a better picture, Lindsay and I did some counting, and we counted no fewer than 225 police cars from various different police agencies, right? We counted about a dozen mine-resistant vehicles, at least a half a dozen ambulances. One of the staggering things about this is that his parking lot, the parking lot of this small business, Swish Bar and Grill, is also the areas where the police helicopters are landing. So we're talking about a man whose business has effectively been cut off from any kind of customer whatsoever.
What surprised you and stood out to you when you were out there reporting and doing these pieces?
Noelle and I on the wealth and poverty desk, you know, we had a clear assignment when we went to Ferguson, which was to think about how the economy was being affected in that city. And we had a lot of, I'll go ahead and say it, assumptions about what poverty might look like in this tiny Midwestern city. And when we got to Ferguson, you know, I think we thought we would encounter a lot of people who were out of work, a lot of people who didn't have opportunities to obtain a higher education. That wasn't the case. Everyone we talked to had a job, if not more than one job. Mm-hmm. And the jobs, you know, they did run the spectrum from fast food worker to hospital technician. But everyone did not seem to have the sentiment that Ferguson was a place where you couldn't find work, where you were going to be out of work for a long time. And that did surprise us.
And Lizzie, I'll tell you what surprised me. You know, I think that incidents like the one that took place in Ferguson, the shooting of an unarmed African-American youth by a police officer and the questions that sprung up in the wake of that. And these are issues that have plagued communities across the United States. We're not just talking about Ferguson, Missouri, right? This has happened in New York City. It's happened in Oakland. It's happened in San Francisco. It happens all across the country. Normally, what you see happening is that the local authorities on the ground look for specific ways to ratchet down the tension, right? So it is, we are going to hold a community meeting in a church, or we are going to immediately address the question of what is going to happen to the police officer who has now been proven to be responsible for this. In Ferguson, what you saw was it almost seemed as if the police weren't entirely sure about how to bring down the tension. And that, I think, is why night after night after night, things are absolutely fine during the daytime. Then you get out there at night and you've got police in their hundreds confronting protesters in their hundreds, and no sense that either side wants to back down. I found that really surprising.
Noelle King and Lindsay Foster Thomas from our Wealth and Poverty Desk, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.